case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word, it's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's go! Yeah!
You are listening to the best of the Patriots. A weekly mix of WEEI's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Gillette Stadium, and we will be joined at 8 by Boomer Esiason, and we'll break down that loss, yes, that horrific loss yesterday for your New England Patriots and the rest of the NFL with Boomer at 8, and then we will talk with Gerard Mayo here at 9:30. This is Tim. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, I just want to chime in saying we already knew where the Pats were before the season started. We watched game one, we got kind of pleasantly surprised, but then from there on, we knew we were in trouble. And here's the deal, man. We always have been asking for an offensive line. 4 years ago, I asked for bulldozers and guys with athletic ability on the line so they can move people for the running backs and get the wide receivers time to catch a ball. But you know what? This product they have right now is horrible. Where, you know what, you like watching the NFL, but you know what, you got to watch other teams now instead, yeah. Unfortunately. No. And lastly, I want to say one thing about Mayo. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you have to pick another. You have to pick another team. I mean, you got to root for somebody else. Have you chosen one, Tim?
Yeah, you know what? I've watched a few. I just like seeing a good product. Bottom line, I'm a football guy. I played football. I was an offensive guy. But I want to talk about Mayo 1 second. Yeah. Mayo's at a point right now where he can't do nothing. I truly believe he can't even put that quarterback, one of the two quarterbacks that are possible, to even see what they look like. That's the sad thing. I don't know what Kraft's done, but Kraft has definitely got the wrong guys in the spot.
All right, thank you. Gerard Mayo. We'll talk to him at 9:30, mm-hmm. and he's a great interview.
Right.
I'm assuming that he said he was going to watch film the whole flight home, and I am assuming that upon watching film, he'll see the same thing that the rest of us saw. But he'll come in here and say that I'm guessing that Jacoby Brissett is your starter again this week. And
so annoying. What is he seeing on film that the rest of us are not seeing?
You played the game, so you know reads better than I know reads. That pick six, I don't know, Pop Douglas is wide open.
Right.
Like, I don't understand throwing that football. I don't understand what we're doing with Jacoby Brissett, expecting that he's going to help you win football games more so than what you may have in Drake May.
And the thing is, when people go, well, he's not ready. He's not ready to make reads, or he's not ready to do this.
Was Jaden Daniels ready?
No, I listen. I agree. My thing
we're losing anyway.
No, but my thing is
I just
Jacoby
really
Brissett's not like doing the right
That's
thing.
What I mean.
So if he's not doing the right things, well, why wouldn't you throw a guy in that has better talent, that has a higher ceiling, better skill set? Is the offensive line struggling? Yes, but there were maybe three sacks that he had. Were him holding on to the ball too long, or his inability to just say, you know what, I'm going to tuck it and run?
I mean, he was sacked four times in the first half. There's just the problem is that this whole argument about Drake May getting killed because of how horrendous the offensive line is may have just gotten stronger over this weekend. Like it may have had the opposite effect. Like, I'm sitting there yesterday and I'm like, great, there's absolutely no way that Jerod Mayo is not going to walk in here on Monday morning and say Drake May is our starter. But they may look at it the exact opposite way. They may say, you know what, at this point, forget about it. We're going to get the kid killed. We're going to ruin him as an NFL quarterback if he's in these games, getting destroyed, scrambling for his life. They may look at it that way.
I don't think Jerod does, though. I think if it was up to Jerod, he'd be pulling Jacoby during that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. He put him in the Jets game. He didn't play him at all yesterday.
Well, what happened pregame, Greg? I'll tell you. Ian Rappaport reported that Drake May is nowhere near the football field. The only reason Robert Kraft, I believe, leaks that to Ian Rappaport, or Jonathan, more likely, I don't know, I'm just guessing, leaks that to Ian Rappaport is to tell Jerod Mayo in no uncertain terms, this isn't up to you, it's up to us. It reminds me of last year when Bill and Robert were fighting back and forth about Mac Jones and dueling reports from Ian Rappaport. That is not a functional football team. I was told the silos were gone, that this was a collaborative approach. Then why are you leaking that pregame to Ian Rappaport?
Why would Kraft not, in your theory, why does Kraft not want to play Drake May?
Because he will, the guy that he hired, Elliot Wolf,
right,
will be further embarrassed when the third overall pick goes down with a season-ending injury because they didn't create an offensive line around him and they didn't put any money into offensive weapons surrounding the quarterback other than Osborne, the second coming of Randy Moss. Awful offseason up and down. And the worst part about it is that they sit there now and they're telling their head coach, who wants to play Drake May, you can't. And I thought the whole point of Jerod Mayo was that this was going to finally be an organization that from top to bottom was going in the same direction. And we're not even to the bye yet, and it's clearly they are not.
See, I think you made a really good point on Saturday during the award-winning Curtis and Ken show.
Thank you. Ken sucks.
Which I was listening to the whole entire way up to Lake Winnipesaukee.
I'm kidding, Ken. I love you.
And that is that they went into this season maybe thinking that Bill was going to have a job elsewhere and would be paid by somebody else.
People don't understand that, Greg. They think it's different than the salary cap. There's a budget for the football operation.
Doesn't matter, because people were texting you and saying, Curtis, coach's salary has nothing to do with salary cap. Doesn't matter. You're running a business, and you think you're going to be able to avoid $25 million or whatever the number is, and then suddenly you're not. Because Bill doesn't land somewhere else,
right?
That you're not going to spend that money.
I
think that's a great point.
So then you think that they weren't in on Ayuk then?
They could be on in on Ayuk and still spent $50 million more. This roster wasn't a player or two away.
No, I know that. I know that. But if your theory is they don't want to spend money on the offensive line because they're paying Bill,
right,
then the whole
– I just look at the end result. I don't care who they called or who they texted or who they flirted with.
But I'm asking you, you believe all of that stuff where there were reports out there that the Patriots made Brandon Ayuk the highest offer.
Smoke and mirrors.
You believe that was false.
They knew he was never coming here.
Believe that was false.
Right. I believe they knew he was never coming here.
So you believe they never even made him that offer?
No. They could make any offer they want. Just like, you know, Greg could walk up to, Bar Raffaele prior to Lynn's and say, hey,
yeah, but if you
I
make
love
an
you, but he's not going to say yes.
But, if you make an offer.
Wait, interesting poll with Bar Raffaele.
I don't know why that popped in my head. Very attractive woman.
Well, yes, but not really a super popular supermodel at this point.
Okay, well, you know, maybe we're looking, the Patriots look for diamonds in the rough.
Yeah, like you would have gone M-Rot.
Yeah, I think Emily Ratajkowski would be my choice.
But there's always,
if I were not taken.
Delta Burke, more age appropriate.
But there's always a chance, Greg, if you make that offer or you make that move, there's a chance they might say yes.
Right. So they were happy maybe it would have happened, but they knew it wasn't going to happen. And the way in which they built this roster has been with $30 million. They thought, I think when Jerod Mayo sat in here and said, we're going to burn some cash, he thought they were going to, because they all thought Bill was going to go somewhere else. And the same people that say that Bill's salary has nothing to do with it were all the ones saying last year they got a jumbotron for $200 million instead of actually signing players.
It's
all
cash. Ready to burn some cash.
Jerod Mayo will join us here at Gillette at 9:30. This is Mike from Florida. Mike, good morning.
Hey, guys. What's up? Happy Monday, I guess.
Not really, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, not at all. But so I've been on everyone's pretty much on the show's side when it comes to why not just start the kid. He's going to eventually have to, like, figure it out at some point. But I'm starting to see something that I don't think I expected this way, but When I'm watching this team, you guys keep comparing him and saying, you know, all these other rookie quarterbacks. You can't compare him and the situation, not necessarily him, but you can't compare the situation to these other teams with rookie quarterbacks, because this offensive line, the offense in general, it is so abysmal that when it comes to quarterback and developing a quarterback, I don't know if Jerod Mayo's thinking, you know what, the most important thing when it comes to developing a young quarterback is, you know, timing and getting him acclimated to, you know, real life football. But it's so bad that it's like you almost don't want to hurt him by putting him in a situation that is so bad and not common to the rest of the NFL. You know, it's almost like just keep the kid on the sideline until we figure out how to make this work in any way, shape, or form. It is not working at all.
Yeah.
So,
no, so then you said all years.
What? Go, Wiggy?
I said ahead. Then explain to me why people say Mike and other people will put him in week 14 or week 15. So what's
the
difference?
I don't think they want to do that, Wiggy.
No.
They want to sit him the whole season until they can get a better draft pick next year. I agree with you. It's a ridiculous way to look at things. But they really dropped the ball when it came to putting some minor pieces in place to have this kid successful.
But right, here's the
Mike,
thing
thank
that,
you.
That makes
thank
no
you.
Sense, Greg. If he gets in week 16, and that's where he begins, and he blows out his knee, he's out next year entirely.
Right.
If he comes in now and plays, and he gets hurt in a couple weeks, he can actually be ready to go next year. So you might even delay it by 2 years if you wait for him to get hurt at the end of the year.
I don't think it is correct, but my fear is that they are sitting here this morning and saying, well, you know, we lost David Andrews, so now there's no chance that we can get him in there until, you know, end of the season.
So are they going to do a refund of all the season ticket holders that have to watch this product?
I don't know. I don't know where you go to get your money back, Curtis. I don't know.
I don't know how you say we're doing a rebuild, but you can't even build anything all year. What are you building? What are you building this year? What is sustainable that you're going to have for the future that you're building right now?
And your third overall pick, the guy that you want to be your future, you're basically saying we're sitting him all year because we're afraid if we play him, the offensive line stinks, and he's going to get hurt. But Curtis is right. If you wait till the end of the year and he gets hurt at the end of the year, then see you later. He's done for the majority of next year. At least if something was to happen at the beginning of the year, you potentially could get him back the beginning of next season. But if you're going into it with the mindset of we're afraid to play a guy because he's going to get hurt, then why even pick that guy?
The two arguments that you hear are either he is going to get hurt physically or he's going to be destroyed mentally. Those are the two arguments that have started to be floated about.
Right, but the only way you get hurt mentally, Greg, in any sport, in anything you do, is when your employer doesn't show confidence in you. That's what hurt Mac Jones. Mac Jones had a good rookie year, but then his second year, his employer, Bill Belichick, and Matt Patricia, after they heard that he went talking behind their back, showed no confidence in him at all. If Gerard Mayo puts him in there and Alex Van Pelt put him in there and they're saying to him week in and week out, hey, don't worry about it. You're our guy. We know you threw a couple interceptions, but we are sticking with you. That will mentally give him the confidence he needs to not worry that, okay, they're losing faith in me.
And they aren't going to flip a switch and this team be unbelievable. So I don't want a quarterback right now that can be easily ruined mentally, because it might take a bit for them to all get back to greatness. Yeah. It's going to take a few years. It's going to take a more than just, you know, the switch at quarterback for them to be back at the top. So I want to know right now, instead of wasting a full year under Jacoby Brissett, who we know is not the future of this team, if Drake May can handle the pressure.
Yeah. That's the only time you get ruined mentally is when your coaching staff and your coaches don't show you the confidence verbally on the way that they're coaching. That's the only way you get ruined.
And the only reason we're here, Greg, is because Elliott Wolf is covering his ass. He didn't do a good enough job building an offensive line to protect the franchise quarterback. So he's protecting himself, not Drake May. Elliott Wolf is doing this to save his own job, not to prepare Drake May properly for the NFL.
All right. Well, there's a lot to talk about on a Patriots Monday. We are going to get to our leads next, I promise. So leads from Shime and from Curtis and from Courtney and from Wiggy all coming up next. And that means that a quick back and forth on what they said over the weekend in sports will follow. And then we will get to Boomer Esiason at 8 and Gerard Mayo with us at 9:30 from Gillette Stadium here on WEEI.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
When is Drake May going to play for the Patriots? Not today, barring injury. Jacoby Brissett, still the starter. My understanding is still a ways away from being on the field. The Patriots have not started the ramp-up process. He's still getting about 30% of the snaps in practice. Looks to me, Rich, still like it is Jacoby Brissett going forward from here.
How was Ian Rapoport before the game yesterday? It's going to be a while, he said.
Maybe things have changed. Maybe they weren't prepared for how bad that was. That's been my thought all along, is this whole Drake May plan when they drafted him and, you know, were trying to develop him through camp. They being Mayo, Van Pelt, Wolf, maybe even Kraft, they all for some reason thought Brissett was better than he is. And he didn't have a very good camp, he started decent, right? But I think it was also comparing it to a rookie who was just showing up with pros for the first time. But then he wasn't very good in those preseason games. And then the way he's played it out during the these first four games, like, I think they expected the play to be better, and they're sort of ignoring it because they're like, well, we don't want to play Drake May too early. And yeah, then you're left with this.
I don't get it. I really don't. And you look at the rookie quarterbacks who are playing throughout the league, as you've illustrated, all with bad offensive lines. The Bears are not ruining Caleb Williams. The Broncos are not ruining Bo Nix. Jaden Daniels looks like a future star. All of those teams are at least 500. Bears and Broncos are 2-2. Washington, maybe a playoff team for all we know, they're at 3-1. So you look at the rest of the league, how the rookies are faring, and we did that after 2 weeks. It looked terrible for the rookies. We'll do it again after a month. It looks better. You shouldn't be afraid to play a rookie, I don't think. You shouldn't be afraid to play this rookie here. And how much longer can you play non-competitive football? Like, this is what I don't get.
They're putting it to the test.
And I forget who said it this morning. It might have been Chris Curtis. It might have been Greg. I forget who said it. But the idea that we're merit-based and we're going to go out there and we're going to reevaluate and it's all about competition, the team's not competitive.
No.
The quarterback isn't making competitive plays. Again, you were down 20-0 yesterday, in part because of a pick six, in part because Ramondre Stevenson can't hold on to the football. And when you pushed it a little bit and made it 20-10, when you got a gift wrap fumble and you still took forever, it felt like, to punch it into the end zone and needed four downs just to score and make it 20-10, Brock Purdy drops back 53 yards, Deebo Samuel, boom. The route's on again. So you're non-competitive. If you were at least competitive like the first 2 weeks, you beat the Bengals, you go to overtime against Seattle, I get it. Now I don't get it. He's missing plays out there. He's holding onto the ball for too long. The pick six, Jacoby Brissett missed a wide-open Pop Douglas across the middle of the field, and he had time. He had time on that throw. So you can't keep doing that. And I don't care if Drake May's not ready. And furthermore, how do we even know? Like, all these people out there assuming, well, you can't start him until he's ready. How do you know? Yeah. How do you know? Everything we hear is that he's doing great in practice. Players are raving about him.
No, but
the coaching staff says he does great. Yeah. So how do you know he's not ready?
Well, you can't play him until he's ready, / can't play him until the O-line's good, like all these different
things. Well, that'll never happen.
That's what I'm saying.
The O-line will never happen.
So now your number three pick, you're just going to stash him? Like, what are we, like, you can't do that. I think the chances of Drake May being great with, you know, Pop Douglas as his number one receiver and Alex Van Pelt as his play caller seem
very slim.
Slim right now.
Yeah.
But also, we'd like to see it before you write that off. Like, I can't say it's never going to happen if we don't see it. And so, yeah, I absolutely think he needs to play. It's hard to find that perfect spot. You know, Caleb Williams is running for his life. Jaden Daniels does not have a great offensive line and only has one guy really to throw to.
This week is the perfect spot. Miami's the perfect spot. Dolphins are on a short week. Let's see how Tyler Huntley looks tonight against the Titans. But, like, this is the perfect spot. And as you said, Keith, I didn't realize your tweet had gone viral. Nesson picked it up.
Yeah, they sure did.
What was that? The Foxborough
show.
Foxborough Rush?
Rush. Yep, they were on it.
They picked up your tweet.
They knew.
It's going to look like a Rays game at the Trop. And that's not the reason to start Drake May, but it's a consideration.
I bet the people way upstairs might start to feel differently.
The Patriots are unwatchable, and they've been non-competitive. So how do you feel about it? 617-779.
Not great.
7937. Let's go to Brock in Middleborough. Go ahead, Brock.
This team is frustrating for a couple different reasons. One, all the quarterbacks picked around Drake May are playing, improving every week. Some are looking real good. So, I don't know, maybe we picked the wrong guy there. And then in terms of if the plan is to play somebody else and a backup quarter, you know, a veteran quarterback, let's see, Minshew, Willis, Dalton, Flacco, Fields, they were all dirt cheap, all doing much better than Jacoby Brissett. So my question is, do the people picking the players, did we just pick two wrong quarterbacks in this situation? What the hell is going on?
Okay,
great point, Brock. We were getting texts about the same thing.
Hang on.
Put the Drake May. Oh, go ahead.
Do you think they picked the wrong guy in Drake May?
No, I'm not saying that. No, I'm not saying that.
But could they have done better than Brissett? That's
100%. And we felt it at the time. This is not revisionist history. So put the Drake May thing to the side, right? Because that is more split than I thought. So there are people that want to play him right away. There are people that think he needs to sit because the environment is so bad. Fine. Let's just put Drake May. We're not even going to discuss Drake May here for a minute. Jacoby Brissett is your starter. That's what you came up with. In a year where Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, I know he ended up staying, but Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, the way that he's playing, Malik Willis, who looked pretty good in a start, Gardner Minshew, all these guys were available. I'm not trying to tell you any
Flacco.
Of them are amazing.
Flacco looked incredible yesterday. He was great when he took over for the Browns last year.
Van Pelt's guy.
Which means you'd have a familiarity with the offense here, right?
Yeah, Brissett was the worst choice. It was the worst choice. Why they pounced on that is beyond me, and you're kind of getting what you pay for.
So, no, that's a great second guess. I don't think they picked the wrong guy. They couldn't have taken Jaden Daniels,
Daniels and Williams were off the board, and those teams weren't going
to
trade.
If you want to go back and relitigate that, then they would have had the tank at the end of the year to get Jaden Daniels, or they should have taken a receiver like Neighbors or Marvin Harrison instead of May. That's not my concern. But the concern about Brissett, and if they got the right guy, Flacco. Minshew is 2-2.
Justin Fields, if your plan was not to play Drake
Fields
May,
is 3-1. He had a great day yesterday. Yeah. Now they were behind and they were chasing the score, but he had a great day.
But if you wanted Brissett knowing that Drake May was going to play early on, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not even that mad about it.
You picked the wrong vet.
But if you wanted to play a guy for 5, 10, 15, maybe the whole season, then you needed to do a lot better than Jacoby Brissett.
100%. And so there were other names that moved around. I don't think Dalton moved. But, like, Sam Darnold is another one. There were other quarterbacks that are playing really well that you could have had, and you chose Brissett.
Yeah, there's a bunch.
That's on Elliott Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
617-779-7937. Joe's in Randolph. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
The way I see it, I don't think it's about May. The team is in such disarray that the team is not ready for May to start. I think
So what do they do? So the team's not ready for, I've heard this before, Drake May. What do they do then? Drake May just doesn't play all year? Is that what they do?
At least until the team seems to play a little more professionally.
Okay, they're not going to. That's not going to happen. Okay?
But the camp is
with Joe. I'm not saying you're wrong, but just understand. Your solution is Drake May doesn't see the field this year. That's your solution. If you can't play Drake May until the team is ready for Drake May, this team will not be ready for Drake May.
But it can't be Brissett then. But that's my takeaway today. I don't know. Somebody else. Somebody not named Jacoby Brissett. Because I don't think the play Drake May people are going to be able to convince the don't play Drake May people and vice versa. Right? Because we'll end up just screaming at each other. Be like, you're going to break them. You're not going to break them. But we can all agree that Jacoby Brissett shouldn't play.
Yeah.
And so they bungled this thing from Jump Street, whether it was keep Bailey Zappe around because at least he's been on the team, or have somebody with more experience other than Joe Milton on the roster so you can keep Drake May safe and you can wait for the old line to have 5 all pros and you can wait for Justin Jefferson to show up and everything else. But you need to play somebody other than Jacoby Brissett to give you a chance. Carolina is the living, breathing proof of this. They look like the only team in the league worse than the Patriots for 2 weeks. They changed their quarterback. They've gone 1-1 and look competitive and score points. So they changed their quarterback. They found a veteran quarterback that everybody thought was a joke, and Andy Dalton's looked pretty good for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Dalton, by the way, yesterday.
He had a couple tugs, right?
He had, they had 3 touchdowns as an offense. He threw for 220. And total yards,
what did
they put up
yesterday?
They put up 375 yards of offense. So again, did they win the game? No. And they lost to the Bengals, who the Patriots beat.
But they're warming up.
Fine. But the idea that you could be more functional on offense by making a quarterback switch, I think that's being proven around the league. But the Patriots are afraid to do it, and a lot of you are afraid to do it.
The Colts. Anthony Richardson, now he might be an example of a guy that was thrown in there too soon if you want to use that, but then they were sort of forced into
the
quarterback because he gets hurt every game, but that's a him issue. But then Joe Flacco goes in there and he's spinning around, the offense looks better.
Could have had Flacco. You don't have Flacco. Flacco looked great.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network.
Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Adam Schefter, who is brought to you by Liberty Bank. Mr. Schefter, welcome. How you doing, sir?
Christian and Andy, how are we doing today?
We're doing great. Now, you're all over the news, Adam, as a replacement, potential replacement for Adrian Wojnarowski. Now, when we talked to you the last couple of weeks, you talked about Woj and about how, him moving on was this big decision for him. What, are you bored or something? You know, you're breaking all the footballs good. Now you're going to dip your hat into the basketball world as well. What's can you give us a scoop here maybe today?
Well, first of all, I love what I do. I'm honored to have the job I have. I've covered the NFL now for 35 years. It's been fantastic, and I've loved it. I also love the NBA, and I love news, and I love big stories. And it's probably not practical to make it happen right now. If Woj had waited till the end of our contracts, I would have been interested in talking about that. If ESPN wants to talk about me chipping in on NBA news and coverage, yeah, I'd have some interest. I don't think that it's overly practical right now. Did have one discussion with somebody. Don't think it'll develop into anything. But again, I love news. I love stories. I love the NBA. So I'm always open to anything. But I'm very happy with my job. And I have had the great honor of covering the NFL for 35 years and look forward to doing it for a long time still.
Well, as you said, you have 35 years doing it and you've cultivated all these rock solid relationships throughout the league. Wouldn't that be sort of a daunting task to kind of start anew in the NBA?
Actually, not really. You know, I've done some moonlighting of NBA games before, and I enjoyed stepping in and getting to know some people in the NBA world. And if it were to happen, and again, we're not tracking that way, but if it were to happen, there would be introductions that would be made. I think that there's a certain understanding of how news works and when stories are ready to go, and there would be an absolute learning curve to going from the NFL to the NBA, and it would not be a simple thing to do. But news is news, and stories are stories, and I've always felt like you could take reporters in one area if they work hard enough and have them transition and do other things. You know, Will McDonough used to cover a lot of different sports. It's not like, it's never been done before. And Will was a legend. He did it. Chris Mortensen covered baseball and football. I think if you care, you're conscientious, I think it can be done. And again, it would be a huge challenge, an enormous undertaking, but the idea of it is certainly intriguing.
So let's stick to your area of expertise for now.
For now.
Davante Adams, sounds like he is on the trading block. When do you think that could come down? And Are the Jets the front runner that everybody seems to perceive them to be?
They are the team that makes the most sense. They have the quarterback he knows. The quarterback would want it to happen. They have the cap space. And so, to me, that's the most logical one. Now, it doesn't mean it will happen that way at all, because I think Davante Adams also has an interest in the Saints and reuniting with his former Raiders and college teammate Derek Carr. I think there are other teams like the Steelers that have checked in. And who knows how this is going to work out in the end. The one thing I feel pretty confident in is that they're going to be in a position where they're going to have to trade him, because it feels like it's just kind of gone down that direction. And so now the question is, where is he sent? When is he sent? We know the NFL trade deadline is Tuesday, November 5th, which just happens to be the same day as the presidential election. So that'll be a nice quiet day in our country. And again, I would expect that at some point by then, Davante Adams will be moved. Could it be next week? Sure. Could it be next month? Sure. But I think more and more it's tracking towards him being traded.
Any chance the Patriots would have interest or would be even an option for him?
Don't see it. And I don't see it for a couple of reasons. Number one, he is in the last year, or after this year, there's no more guaranteed money in his contract. So to get the Raiders to trade him, they're going to have to get sufficient compensation. And Davante has a number next year, a salary that's like $35.6 million, non-guaranteed. So if you're trading for him, you'd like to have him beyond this year, but you're going to need him to restructure the contract. He's not going to restructure the contract in a place that, you know, he's not looking to be. He wants to try to win a Super Bowl right now. He's in the latter stage of his career. That's what he would like to do. And while I believe that New England has built a lot of talent, I don't know that they're on that trajectory. And so it doesn't make sense. So I don't see it as being a viable option right now.
The Raiders, just to stick with that for a second here, when they brought in Antonio Pierce, it seemed like, first of all, everybody hated Josh McDaniels over there. So when they brought him in, it seemed like a big culture shift in Vegas. They won five games at the end of the season. It seemed like everybody liked him. What happened to sort of expedite this breakdown between Pierce and some of his best players this year?
Well, we don't know if there's been a breakdown between Pierce and some of his players. We just know that Davante Adams wants out. Now, we don't know whether that's related to Antonio Pierce or whether that's related to him wanting more money guaranteed the next couple of years, or him not seeing the progress in the Raiders, or the quarterback not being what he thought, or him wanting to play with Aaron. Like, there are a whole host of reasons. I still believe that Antonio Pierce has got the support on that team. That's what I believe. But Davante Adams obviously would like to be traded at this point in time.
Adam, there's been reports, including from you, that Drake May isn't necessarily close or ready to go. He's not going to start this week, a week some had circled as a potential first career start. What do you think the story is there, the plan we keep hearing about? What's your sort of take on Drake May, and will he even start a game this year?
Well, again, I think we'll go by what Gerard Mayo said this week, which is that he's 100% behind Jacoby Brissett. And we do know that the team has not been in any rush to get to Drake May. And they would like to make sure that he has the time he needs to continue to learn and grow and be in a spot that he's not being pressured. There are so many young quarterbacks rushed into service before they're ready. And it doesn't really serve them well in the long term. And I think the Patriots are taking the big long-term view here, which is the right thing to do. And I think you kind of feel when it's time. Again, I always felt like coming to the season, and we'll see how it plays out, that we might see Drake May get a little bit of experience at the end of the year. You know, the last two, three games. Maybe they decide they want to do it sooner. Maybe there's a reason they feel like he's growing enough in practice and absorbing enough that they can do it. But I always felt like that was the logical course of action. If we go back to the Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes started and played the very last regular season game during his rookie year in Denver. That was the only game he played his rookie year. And the next year, they cleared the decks, and he was the starting guy. Now, again, if they want to take that page from the Chiefs playbook and apply it to May, I think some people would think that that might be a wise idea. But they don't seem in any great rush to get to Drake May right now, which is completely understandable.
Yeah, they certainly don't. And with the David Andrews injury, Adam, it seems like that may have even pushed it further off if it was going to be at all. Looking at the state of the offensive line, and really in the NFL right now, it seems like there's a real offensive line crisis on a lot of these teams. Do you see the league sort of moving back in that direction? Like, do you think that's going to start becoming like a trendier early round draft pick, these offensive linemen, with the way the league is right now?
Well, I think that they've always been valued and coveted, and I think teams always know that if you can shore up those spots, that's some of the most important things that you can do for your football team. I don't think that's anything new. I think that's always been the case as long as I can remember following football. You know, the sexy picks are the quarterbacks and the wide receivers, and those are the picks that generate buzz. It's not real sexy to go out and draft Joe Walt. But those are the picks that make franchises in the long run. And I would imagine you're going to see, you know, New England, you know, acting in an appropriate way in the future. And I think teams have looked to do that all along. I don't think that's anything new.
Adam, you're probably not surprised, but around here, a lot of people are paying attention to Bill Belichick's media career and all the podcasts and TV shows and Manning Cast. I'm wondering from afar, after about a month, what you think of the job Bill's doing. I know he had an aggressive comment on the McAfee show about questioning the plan and Gerard Mayo. Just your thoughts on Bill Belichick's first month in the media.
He's taken to it quite well. I always was offended. I remember, you know, kidding. I think he won an Emmy for his role in, what was it, the 100 Greatest Players, yep. Whatever they did.
Yeah, yes.
That big spin. Yeah, so he won an Emmy, so... He won an Emmy before I was ever even nominated for an Emmy. Like I've worked this long time, and I've never, ever been nominated for an Emmy. He's won an Emmy. So he's got Super Bowl wins. He's got an Emmy. And with the work he's doing, he's probably going to win more Emmys this year. And he's going to completely leave me in the dust, which is going to further humiliate me and force me to leave the sport of covering football to have to go cover basketball. I can win an Emmy.
I was going to say, that's all going to change once you take over that NBA beat. The way things are going, we'll probably see you calling states during the election too, Adam. Anyway, thanks so much for the time today. Always great to talk with you.
Coming up momentarily, we will get to what are we doing with Chris Curtis. But before that, this is Charlie from Boston. Hey, Charlie.
Good morning, guys. Great show so far. I think the biggest thing, Drake May's not learning anything from Brissett. Like, it's just not happening. I think the only two reasons that they are still keeping him on the bench is, one, it's a carrot to dangle in front of the fans to keep us interested. I'm not interested in watching the Pats only because they suck. Like, the off chance that we get to see Drake May is why I'm watching. And two, once you take Drake May and you start him, if he sucks for 3 weeks, like, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. Like, do you start Brissett again? Like, it's once the toothpaste is out of the tube, you can't put it back in.
Yeah.
No, you just learn.
But if your expectation has to be over there, mm-hmm. that you're not a playoff team and you're not winning that many football games either way. So, like, what's the worst that happens? Drake May is like any other rookie and is struggling a little bit and trying to figure his reads out and trying to figure the offense out. It's not that different than a veteran who is, like, is stinking the joint out. Like, can't see guys that are open down the field. Like, I understand that. I guess maybe there are people that are tuning in just to see whether Drake May gets in the second half or not. But
that's it. That's it. That's why I watch. I mean, obviously, I'm a fan, but I'm hoping that Drake May's getting in at some point. But you want to see.
Got to get to Newport.
You want to see.
Is that a burp?
No, it was like it was
a
like
yawn
a no, it was like a hiccup in a, you know, like a gas bubble.
Oh.
But you want to see if Drake May, basic things, if he's improving on the little things. Like, is he improving on the little mistakes that he's making as a rookie quarterback? And then you'll go, oh, okay, this gives us some positivity going into next year that he's picking it up. You know, for example, if he's rolling out to the right and he throws across his body and it's an interception, does the next time he does that, does he learn from that mistake? Does he learn from the basic mistakes? How's he control the huddle? Maybe some play clock penalties or procedures. Like, those are the little things that you go, okay, he's learning from these mistakes that he made in week 6, week 7, week 8.
I also don't want to see what Ken was saying with Patrick Mahomes, one game and then the end of the season.
Yeah,
it's like, I want to see if the game's terrible, if this is a spiral effect, if he comes out the next week and stinks, and then the week after, if he can rebound after a bad game.
Right, and Greg, you know, Wiggy, I will say, was already on to Drake May in week 2, and that's great. He's been on that the whole time. But the first 7 quarters of the season, there was not a groundswell of demand or support for Drake May replacing Jacoby Brissett. They were 1-0. They had a fourth quarter lead, and late in the fourth, week 2, they were about to be 2-0. And the fan base was patient. Jacoby Brissett was doing a great job of managing the game. Their defense was spectacular. They had good plays in special teams, and they were about to go 2-0 with, you know, just a good run game and a great defense. Since then, we've seen more and more limitations out of Jacoby Brissett, and the season has unraveled. So to say that the Alex Smith-Mahomes situation is an equivalent is just not reality. People here would have been fine with a 10-win season with the starting quarterback that was already in place, allowing the backup to learn to be ready to take over in year 2.
Well, listen, based on what you saw against the Bengals and what you saw against the Seahawks, you ought to be in this game on Sunday, and you ought to have a chance of winning this football game on Sunday. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so.
Minus Tua.
Yeah.
Like, you should be in this game. You should win this game.
Yeah, you should be. It should be punch for punch.
If they do not, then I have to believe that there is a groundswell of frustration with regard to playing Drake May. I mean, There are a lot of fans who still, we did a poll, it was 50-50 on Monday.
Yeah, Curtis. That was shocking.
There are a lot of fans who want to wait on Drake May because they think he's going to get killed.
I think Ken did a bot farm with that. Nothing else makes sense.
What happens next year if he doesn't play this year, going off the boss man lead and the Adam Schefter? He only plays one game, and then we go into next year, and then He has his struggles. What are people going to say? Oh, this is technically his first year of playing.
But I don't think he will have if he was the right person to take at number 3, then he's not going to struggle.
But what if he wasn't the right person?
But look at Mac Jones at 15. Mac Jones had a really good rookie season.
Right.
Now, granted, you know, Curtis, say what you want about Bill. That was under Bill, and that was under Josh McDaniels. So,
my point is all we're doing is kicking the can down the road when we could see what he is and then give him the pass. Because next year, you know what's going to happen. If he doesn't play well, we're going to give him a pass and say, oh, this is his first year. This is his learning year. Then let's see what he does the following. So that now is year number 3. And so now in year number 3, we might get to the point where we're like, oh, this kid's not very good. And now we're like, where do we go from here? What's our next move at quarterback?
And maybe the Chiefs win that AFC championship in 2018 if Mahomes has a prior year of experience in the playoffs under his belt. You know, maybe they left a title on the table. Who knows?
Okay. Coming up next, we'll get to what are we doing with Chris Curtis? And a question about why what a man did during the hurricane has him being threatened with arrest. We will get to that coming up next.
We just all got to be on the same page, man. I mean, we got guys, just being honest. We got guys some guys just kind of being like kind of selfish, you know. Because guys, I get it. We're down. Guys want to make plays. I get it. But, you know, everybody got to play. I'm talking about defense. Everybody has to play at 11, as 11. And everybody got to, sacrifice to do what's best for the team, you know. You know, I know some guys want to make plays when we're down, trying to, you know, get back in the game. But we got to just keep going as a team and play team defense.
That was Devon Godshall. Patriots Monday.
Friend of the show.
WEEI. Friend of the show.
Check out Shaw Talk on YouTube.
Let me tell you. Oh, no. Yeah, subscribe.
Yeah.
And while you're there,
hit up hashtag Dork. Dork Podcast. AWEEI.
Give Dork a follow. Yeah. WEEI. You know, the Jones and Keith program, all that.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he is.
Make sure you subscribe to the
hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thank you, Devon. He's such an outlier, though. It's like, we asked Dietrich Wise, his favorite San Francisco 49er. He can't even ask it. With Godshall, we're like, oh, what's what happened with the defense against San Fran? It was like something benign.
Yeah, that's a no.
And then he was just like,
right off the rip, like he wanted to say
it. Oh, no. We didn't ask him, like, oh, were guys out there freelancing? I'm like,
so I tried.
How was the defense? He's like, we're selfish. We're all selfish a-holes. I'm like, oh, wow. Got it. I mean, I could. If you watch the video, and it's on Jones and Keefe on Twitter or Instagram. If you watch the video, we both like perk up. We're like,
hello.
What the hell? Somebody said something? What?
So it's funny. And I tried asking a follow up. I probably should have done a better job, but I was trying to figure out, was that something that he said to the team after the game? Did the coaches say it to him? And he responded, he's like, well, I'm a veteran. I've been around the league a long time and whatever. So I'm sure he did tell guys. I'm sure some of those, even in game, you know, when they're all huddled up, all the offense is on the field. Yeah. Now you got to do it quick because the offense is on the field for a minute.
Yeah, so you get no real time.
The defensive huddles are quick on game day. But I'm sure after the game, they said that stuff. And I do think this is a great example of let's see what happens. You know, like let's see how that impacts Sunday's game. Like if they go out there and lay an egg, you're like, oh boy. Like this is now guys are turning on each other and be like, oh yeah, I'm selfish. At least I'm making plays. And then like snipe.
Right.
Or maybe guys are like, yeah, you're right. And then they play a better game. Now they have a great matchup with a bad fourth string quarterback coming up on Sunday. So there is a chance the defense could look pretty good.
They're favored, Keith.
But yeah, by a point.
I mean, as of last night, I didn't look again this morning, but as of last night, they were favored by a point at home against Miami.
Yeah, you take three quarterbacks out, you sign a guy off the street, that'll do it.
I'm still shocked they're favored. Like, I'm still shocked.
I think it's because, well, they're home, and they look, Miami looks so bad against
the
Tennessee.
Tennessee. The Patriots haven't been competitive for two straight weeks.
No, they have not. When's Miami been competitive, though?
Good question.
Now, without Tua, they haven't.
Have they had no competitive games? I know quarterback play has been bad. I thought they were in their game 2 weeks ago.
I mean, we'll never know.
No, there's no way.
They haven't scored in, I believe, 20. They haven't scored a touchdown in 23.
31 drives. To 10, 24 to 3, 31 to 12.
Jones, they're horrible.
They're the anti-2 weeks of the Saints.
All right, maybe the Patriots should be favored. Strike that from the record. I'm not used to seeing the Patriots favored in any games.
No, they weren't supposed to be at the beginning of the year. They were, if everybody's healthy, but that's what happens. Everybody's not healthy. Guys drop like flies. And this is an example. It's week 5. And they're on their fourth quarterback. Miami is.
So we're talking about, a favored team this weekend. Would Davante Adams.
A better team.
Would Davante Adams consider coming to the Patriots? That's question number one. Should the Patriots be interested in Davante Adams? Question number two. And does that change the timeline for Drake May if you get someone like Davante Adams? That's question three. You can jump in on all of those at 617-779-7937. I get annoyed seeing some of the commentary on the text line, on Twitter, Twitch. It's like, oh, he's not going to come here. Like, the attitude to me is like, Elliot Wolf shouldn't even bother trying.
Yeah.
When I think he should call and he should put an offer and they should consider giving Davante Adams some money going forward, and I think you make it interesting to him. If he says no, he says no. But I hope the Patriots are kicking the tires and figuring out what it would take to get Davante Adams. And unfortunately, I'm not sold the Wolfpack is doing that. Like, I'm not sold they're calling Vegas about it. And that would be discouraging to me.
He's had a tough couple of months.
So if he says no, then whatever, he said no. But they should be trying.
So I get this too. And so Dubs in the chat is saying, does Davante play left tackle? He's a wide receiver. He's not a left tackle.
No.
I'm with you. I get it. They need left tackles. They need guards.
But they also need receivers.
No, I know. But so my point is there aren't great Hall of Fame left tackle, left guards available right now. So does that mean you don't upgrade the roster anywhere else until you get those guys? So a receiver has become available. Yeah. Like Brandon Ayuk couple weeks ago was rumored to be wanting out of San Francisco. So they were interested. That was good. They were interested. You don't want to be the interest kings. You don't want to be the Red Sox.
No.
But they were interested.
But
that
you also don't want to be the team that doesn't even bother picking up the phone.
So like, oh, is he a left tackle? Hang up.
No.
Oh, is he a left tackle? Forget it.
Okay.
Like, well, you need to get players. They have the worst roster in the NFL.
Keith, you don't get it?
I don't.
You can't play Drake May until you have an offensive line, and you can't trade for wide receivers until you get an offensive line.
Got it.
That's all you got to do.
I think they should start prioritizing offensive line.
Punt on the year until you get an offensive line.
Oh, they
you can't
punt,
do anything
though.
Else.
Bryce Behringer? Best player on the team.
So until they get an offensive lineman, you can't play Drake May. You also can't call about wide receivers until you get a left tackle. Got it. That's good to know.
So,
let's just not play the football season.
So basically, you are, you're like, well, they'd be doing it out of order. Like taking a quarterback and then not playing them. So it would actually fit very much what the Patriots are doing.
Right on brand.
Get everything that you need out of order, and then that way you could sit one of your best players.
Best guy. Like, the Patriots aren't at the top of the list. I just hope they're doing their job and calling.
So to answer your question, I would say the Patriots should be interested.
Uh-huh.
The Raiders should be interested in what the Patriots can offer.
Yeah, if it's the best draft pick.
Davante Adams should not be interested. He should be interested in the Jets, Bills, maybe Saints. I don't know. People keep hyping up that Derek Carr relationship, but I would
say they are. They do like each other.
They're buds.
So,
yeah, no, I mean, they went to college
Fresno
together.
State, they played together in Vegas.
But I guess Saints. Like, to me, the Saints are the third team in that division. But put that to the side. I think it should be the Jets and the Bills. The Chiefs make a ton of sense. I just don't think the Raiders would send him to Kansas City.
Where
they have a little bit of pride.
So where do you think he winds up? I think that's stupid for the Raiders if they can get a second round pick from Kansas City and a third from everybody else. They should take it.
Yeah, I subscribe to that as well.
But yeah, I mean, I would understand teams think that way all the time. I just disagree with that logic.
I think it's going to be the New York Football Jets.
That's where he winds up.
J-E-T-E Jets.
Say it again.
It's like they're a
New York J-E-T-E Jets.
They're a total mess, by the way.
J-E-T-E Jets.
Yeah, J-E-T-E. You know it. I had a good one years ago. Jetties? I couldn't spell Eagles. I was trying to do the Eagles chant. It wasn't close.
Okay.
It was further away than I care to admit.
Yeah, it starts double vowel. Not a lot of words start double vowel.
You get lost in the chant when you're not used to doing it.
I got it.
And so, look, the Jets would be interesting because they are such a mess. Like, I'm sure Garrett Wilson's already complaining about the offense. Aaron Rodgers and Saleh, I mean, when Aaron Rodgers isn't like shoving Saleh against the Patriots on national TV,
yeah,
they're sniping at one another about the cadence of the offense.
It probably won't work, but I feel like they should take a swing at it and go
for it. All right, guys, all gas?
It's no realist. Schefter says the top teams on Adams' list, and you said this earlier, are the Jets and the Saints. 617-779-7937. We also saw this video was making the rounds. Davante Adams, very complimentary of Jerod Mayo as a black coach in New England. And I'm wondering already about the team culture, the locker room, and that Devon Godchow comment is a jumping off point for it. Is Mayo already at risk of losing the team? And I know Tom Curran would disagree with this. Curran thinks it's a good culture. Although when we pressed him on it, he was just saying it's a better culture than last year, which really to me isn't saying much.
Right. But so basically, and just to piggyback off of that point, I don't think you can really overstate the fact that last year was so bad.
Yeah.
No, that they fired the greatest coach of all time because of it.
Yeah.
That's how bad it got. So even Bill Belichick couldn't withstand that. So every single culture should be a little bit better than that is my point.
Yeah.
And so if the fact that it might not be much better is a concern, it's 1 month into the year, and like you saw last year, like losing magnifies everything. Winning can kind of hide some of the issues that you might have, but I can't imagine there's going to be a great deal of winning. They've lost three straight games. They've only played a quarter of the season.
So to me, you know, this idea that Mayo's going to change the culture and everybody's going to be happy and hunky-dory and, you know, on board with the approach. Well, that was all well and good, and it looked like a real thing in week one, and we were giving it credit in week one against Cincinnati. It's come undone on the field, which is one thing. They've lost three straight. They've been non-competitive 2 weeks in a row. Week two, and maybe this is why they've been non-competitive since then, coaching let them down against Seattle in that game, and maybe players lost confidence in the approach and the direction and everything else. And on top of that, you have players squawking openly on the radio like Devon Godchow, where, again, we weren't pressing the guy.
Love it.
We were just asking him questions about what happened on defense, and he's like, oh, yeah, we're selfish. And is he taking shots at Uche? Is he taking shots at Keon White? Like, who's he talking about? Are they going to snipe back to your point? Yeah. Are we already at risk of Mayo losing the locker room? And Keith, if he can't keep the team culture in a good place and he can't keep the vibes high, then what does he do?
High vibes.
Like, what does he do? If he's not a good vibes guy and keeping the team happy and the locker room happy, what does Jerod Mayo do? I thought that's what he did.
It's going to be tough.
And so already we're a month in, and he's at risk of losing the one thing that everybody thought he could do.
And I also think he is at more risk of letting things slip away a little bit because of the injuries right now. And David Andrews, if David Andrews doesn't play the rest of the season, that's the one kind of adult that you have, a kind of constant you have on offense. And Juwan Bentley is done for the year on defense. So your two most veteran players, the two guys that you probably rely on to keep everybody else in check, right? Like if there's a little bit of a mutiny going on, I think Andrews could be like, guys, knock it off. And they'd listen to Andrews. Same thing on defense. I think guys would listen to Bentley. You take them off the field, you now have even more inexperience on the field. You add losing, people are going to start sniping. And so, you know, we highlighted this at the time. If somebody with the lack of resume of Pop Douglas feels like he can kind of squawk.
I kind of forgot about that one. That's another good one.
He's never scored a touchdown.
Right.
He's never scored an NFL touchdown. And he's like, he needs the ball more and all this other stuff. And then they give into it. And they're like, yeah, let's feed him. Let's feed him the rock. Even though we're a running team going up against a team 2 weeks ago that doesn't really stop the run all that well, let's feed Pop Douglas. So, yeah, it's ugly. And I think every loss is only going to make it worse. That's another reason why this game on Sunday is so big, because it's a winnable game, right? Oh, you lost to the Jets and the Niners. Okay. A lot of teams are going to lose to the Niners.
You lose to the Dolphins at home in a game you're favored.
Snoop Huntley. Yeah, you're not going to be favored very often.
No.
And if you lose this one, it piles it up. It's four straight losses. And then you're like, all right, if we can't beat these guys, like, what are we doing here? And it could get ugly. Because also, it feels like Godchild's statement about guys being selfish, it's all about how they respond to that. You know, like, maybe they take it. Maybe they're like, all right, he's a veteran guy in the league.
100%.
Like, maybe he's right. You know what? You know, I was getting a little crazy there. If we just play team defense, we can be good. Because he was also in other answers. He was very confident in the team.
Oh, he was bullish on
the team.
He's
like, we're good. He's like, we're not playing very well, but he's like, we're a good team and we can be a lot better. So yeah. I'm like, okay.
I mean, make no mistake. That's made some news. That comment that he had on this show, that's made some news. Players have heard about it. Players know about it. So how do they respond? Do they respond by saying, screw that guy? He doesn't know what he's doing. I'm the one out here making plays. Or for a week, do they keep contained in the pocket and have some pride and respond to it? We're going to find out. But I agree, Sunday's a big game for that. And Mayo's grasp on the locker room. And if he doesn't have that, what does he do?
Let's go to the hotline and talk to our good friend Tommy Kern with WEEI Afternoons. Is brought to you by FlexCar. Save thousands with your flexible car lease at FlexCar.com. And by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair. Mr. Kern, welcome in. How you doing?
Christian, what's going on, buddy?
Not too much. Just another week getting ready for this game, which Ross Tucker called it aptly and appropriately, I think, the battle for the basement. The Patriots, the Miami Dolphins, a matchup between two teams that somehow the Patriots are favored in. Looking ahead to this matchup here and what this game could sort of represent, a 2-3 record going into the rest of this schedule, which we've talked about, Tommy, does lighten up a little bit. Is there a chance for a season here still, or are we kind of past that at this point?
Well, I mean, it lightens up, you're right. And then, as you know, and everybody listening knows, it lightens up, but you can't take advantage of it if you're not better than the teams that it lines up against. I mean, they lost 30-13 to a good team, and the week before they were virtually non-competitive against what is probably a less-than-average team that played well. The Jets did on that night. There were circumstances involved. But, yeah, you're right, it lightens up. And they could certainly, I think things would go a long way toward being improved if they can look better defensively. If you just had something you could hang your hat on. And the lack of discipline is as maddening as the injuries are disappointing. And I think that you can make a conclusion, despite all the injuries on defense, that right now they're not taking the style of coaching and that is being given to them. And I say style because they know what they understand the concept of what they're being told to do. They're not doing it. So does it have to be phrased differently? And that's what I find interesting is this coaching staff gets more enmeshed in what it wants to do is, okay, well, what do we have to tweak? Because we're not getting through to them with the nice guy stuff, or we're not getting through to them with the urgency stuff. Does Ramondre Stevenson have to be treated differently? Do guys have to be treated differently along the edge-setting stuff? So that's where I am.
Tom, is this coaching staff in danger of losing the locker room? I don't want to say mutiny. There's a report out there that maybe someone is saying that there's a verge of a mutiny in the locker room, but are they on the verge of losing the locker room?
Yeah, I think I phrased it as teetering after I heard Devon Godshaw.
Mm-hmm.
But losing the locker room or having mutinies, look, fear the players only meeting. I think that's what you have to bear in mind. But as Mayo himself used to tell me when he was on our show, he's like 80% of the guys are right there in the middle. 10% are pulling the wrong way, and 10% are pulling exactly the right way.
Right.
It's which 10% wins. And when you see Bentley go down and Andrews go down, you've got two massive leaders on both sides of the ball whose voices are not going to be heard. And it's kind of a young team, too, in some respects. So young players who don't have a backlog of experience in what the NFL could be like and the length of time that an entire season encompasses, they could start to freak out about, oh, what about me? What this is the, this? They don't know what they're doing. I think that's the extent of the mutiny that I would see. So I would find it hard to call mutiny. Mutiny means they storm the coach's office and say, you're done. You, right. You can't coach us.
Right. Josh McDaniels or something like that, right? Like, yeah, that's not happening.
I think it would be better phrased as frustration bordering on resignation. But nobody has that kind of time for 9 syllables to describe it.
You talked about David Andrews and the stabilizing presence that he have, and you just sort of alluded to it right there, Tommy. I think when I heard that, I thought, yeah, you know, he is a stabilizing presence, but we haven't watched a particularly stable team here. How much worse can this get without David Andrews?
The question, I think, is how much does this lightened schedule impact what the Patriots are now capable of? Because the Jets looked at the Patriots and said, let's blitz these guys. I don't think they could stop us. They ran through them. The Niners said, well, we don't blitz either, but if they're going to blitz, we're going to blitz. And they ran right through them. Are the Dolphins capable of doing the same thing? Do the Patriots remain static? I mean, I don't think anyone really ever does. If you have a bad game at the plate or a bad day on the golf course or a bad day at the office, you say, you know what, I'm going to go home and work on some of that stuff so it doesn't happen again. That was embarrassing. So you can't expect the Patriots to remain just as bad. But then comes the question of, do you have the talent to stop it anyway? It's one thing to say, well, we don't want to see that happen again, and see how they have the personnel available to you to stop it. They insist that they can. So we will see.
Speaking of we will see, this defense, I think a lot of people thought they were going to see it maybe be more competitive, maybe even help win games or keep it in games. The underachievement we've seen through the first month, do you think that's no Judon, no Barmore, lose Bentley? Do you think that's Bill Belichick's gone, Steve Belichick's gone? What do you put the finger on there?
Great question. It's got to be, as Bill used to say, a mosaic. I think the Barmore impacts the entire pass rush and certainly the way guys perform up front. Less talent means more guys trying to do more things,
yep.
Trying to create pass rush because there are better matchups for the offensive line to deal with the people in front of them instead of a double team for Barmore, for instance. Bentley at the second level puts Tavai in a position where he is maybe asked to do more things instead of just being a reactive linebacker. Back into the defense, Duggar not out there last week. And what the hell's Jalen's last? Hawkins?
Yes.
Jalen Hawkins cruising around out there. God bless him. He'll be fine someday. So will Del Pettis, but not now. And that hurt. And that hurt a lot. All those things are involved. And I think, too, when we look at – so Bill's gone, even though he was the more on the offensive side of the ball and dealing with the offensive line because of the issues they were having and the coaching issues on offense, it was still his blueprint. And you still had Steve carrying out, and you still had Mayo carrying it out. People need to understand, and I'm sure many do – when you're a coordinator or a co-coordinator, as he and Steve kind of were, you're running the entire defense. When you're a head coach, you just check in to see that your coordinators are doing the things that you like, and you correct them if they're not. So Mayo now isn't really running the defense. It's Covington. And it was really well explained by Adam Lazar this week. I had him on the podcast. And the Patriots want to play two high safeties, basically cover two, and they're getting carved up in the middle, which we saw from Geno Smith on the underneath passes. So they started rotating to one high, and they're just not good enough to deal with one high. And teams like the Jets with Rodgers, the Seahawks with Geno, and then Kyle Shanahan were able to go, oh, we see what you're doing, and we know how to take care of this, so sorry. Boom, 40-yard throw, boom, 18-yard throw, boom, third down conversion.
We're talking with Tommy Kern, NBC Sports Boston. Ramondre Stevenson, how much leash is he going to have? Is he going to get the start this week? And are they, if things continue to go this way, going to make or consider making big changes roster-wise even potentially at the running back position?
I would say I would highly doubt the latter. This seems like a temporary thing. If he isn't playing this weekend, it would be amount to being timeout. And when there's a sufficient – I mean, it's hard to say – okay, you cured your fumbling issue until you put somebody back on the field again and see them not fumble, unless they also fumble during practice. But It was interesting to hear Mayo say, and he had a couple of interesting things he said that were cultural tells. Regarding Stevenson, he said there has to be a price to pay, and it has to hold up when somebody does something, especially for where we're at. And I think that was more of a, we're a developing team. If guys just mess up and they're not held to account, that's a bad signal for everybody else. He also said similarly about Jacoby Brissett when asked about the reasons he's playing. He said toughness, leadership, a number of other things too, Andy, I'm sure you remember, but he never mentioned production,
yep,
accuracy, chunk plays. This is all about that foundational setting and expectation setting. It's what this year has kind of, we say devolved into, but we kind of could see it coming, and Kraft could too. This is a foundational year. We're going to set the culture and try and have people understand what our expectations are. And they're still very much, I think, in the position of, okay, we have to set expectations but still play the games and not get ass-whipped. So I do think that the injuries have been a troubling effect, T-R-E-B-L, on everything that has caused treble damages to what they're trying to do as an inexperienced team.
So we can't let you through an interview without asking about the quarterback position and Drake May. I heard wind that you have actually come up with a formula for when you would play Drake May.
Yes.
Could you express that to our listeners?
Yes. X is represented by wins.
Oh, math. Oh, boy.
Y is represented by losses.
Uh-huh.
And May is the factor. So when X, when Y equals six more than X,
already lost,
then that means May. So okay, once the Patriots are six games under 500, then I think it's okay to throw May in there. We had this discussion the other day with Adam Jones, and I said, you can't put him out there until the team is stabilized to a point where it looks like you can use him. He said, well, that means, what if they never stabilize? He said, you can't use him at all. And I think that's distilling to a point where, well, that's, you know, overcorrecting and distilling my point to the point of ridiculousness. No. At some point, you say, okay, well, looks like it's never going to stabilize. We need to get him in there.
So if
it's never going to stabilize to the point we hoped, let's get him in there.
So if they they have to lose, because right now they're 1-3, so they're minus two. So I need four more losses in a row, and Drake May will play.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah.
I think that would probably do it. You're 1-7.
Yeah.
He's then had another month under his belt. Doesn't that seem kind of reasonable? Like, if you're 2-3 and Jacoby gets you there, you feel okay about it. Okay, we can buy more time for the kids, 2-3. You know, we just change the conversation just a little bit because you know how we pin the needle 1 week to the next.
Oh, absolutely.
But I honestly think, I just don't know how they block right now.
Nor do they. Did you know Brian Hudson was the potential starting center? Actually, did you know who Brian Hudson was?
Oh, yeah, Brian Hudson.
Yeah.
I did not until today.
Good friend of mine. My good buddy, Brian Hudson. Tommy, it's time for the Tommy Kern Flex of the Game presented by FlexCar. Ditch the dealership and save thousands with FlexCar. Aside from hammering that under, you got any flexes for the game this week, Tommy?
Flex for the game has to continue to be over with DeMario Douglas. He's too good a player, too talented a player, and the ball has to find its way to him. I mean, it's anemic. Do you know that there's 24 receivers in the NFL with more receptions than the entire Patriots wide receiving corps?
I believe it. I believe
receiving
it.
That's a good number.
Jesus.
I mean, it's a bad number, but it's a good number.
So they need to try and flip that. Just try and make that list a little shorter. Interestingly, too, only one of those guys with the 26 or more catches, I can't remember what it was, 27 or more, was a tight end. And there were no running backs. I know. The game is changing a little.
Really
used to have running backs and tight ends with a crap ton of catches. Now it is wide receiver heavy with getting the ball more than tight ends and running backs on checkdowns.
We should probably go get a wide receiver then.
Well, you got them.
We
do? You need a line.
Oh, yeah, that too.
A line would help.
Yeah,
a line would definitely help. All right, one foot in front of the other. Tommy Curran, great to talk with you as always. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you again next Thursday.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a good weekend.
It is, you too. It's Tommy Curran, NBC Sports Boston, joining us here on WEEI Afternoons. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.